In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During the month of May, and especially as today we celebrate Mother's Day, we have the opportunity to take a moment and consider that most august, most beautiful, most loving and lovable of all mothers, the Blessed Virgin Mary. On this day when we thank God for our earthly mothers and pray in their behalf, we also have a great spirit of gratitude and admiration for the mother of our Savior, who is also our mother likewise. Indeed, if she is the mother of the head, she must be the mother of the body also. That's just how it works, right? You mothers, you know that. If you're the mother of the head, you have to be the mother of the body also. And so being the mother of Jesus, who is the head of the church, she is also the mother of the mystical body. She's the mother of the church. And she was given to each of us as our mother there at the foot of the cross. So we say that she is the mother of God, but also she is the mother of all those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, as we consider the Blessed Virgin Mary and the role of Our Lady in our own spiritual lives, there is a certain question that we ought to address. A certain question, a certain dilemma. It can be raised by those who are not Catholic as an objection, but today I even want to just consider it as a question. Something that even we who are faithful, who love Our Lady, something that we might wonder about. We might wonder how to answer this. And this is how the question goes. Why go to Mary? Why not just go straight to Jesus? Right? That's the great question. St. Peter tells us that we ought to be ready to give a reason for our faith in all gentleness and reverence. And of course, also with great humility. So we should be ready to give a reasoning for our faith, a reasoning for our devotion to Mary, but again, always in gentleness and always in reverence. So that's what I want to do for today's homily, to consider that question or that little dilemma, and to give a very gentle and reverent response. Why not just go straight to Jesus? Why go to Mary at all? Now, when considering this question or this little dilemma, I want to first state that there is a hidden presumption, a sort of unspoken premise. And the unspoken premise is this, that it's possible to go straight to Jesus. That there's nothing between me and Jesus. Right? That's the hidden assumption, the hidden presumption of that question. Why not go straight to Jesus assumes that I'm able to just go straight to Him, that there's nothing between us, that Jesus is over here and I'm over here, and between us is just an open field. Nothing there between us. I could just run straight to Him. But I deny that presumption. I say the premise is wrong. The starting point, the starting image is wrong. It's not that there's Jesus here and me over here, and then between us this open field. No, rather, between me and Jesus is a massive, impenetrable, formidable, awful wall. A giant wall which is a barrier between me and Jesus. A wall which cannot be got over, which I can't go under, which I can't break through. It's truly impenetrable. Can't get past it. Between me and Jesus is this massive wall. What is the wall? Well, first of all, the wall is original sin, and then also all of my actual sins. Original sin, and then all the actual sins I've committed through my life. Then additionally, it's attachment to sin, and also any character faults and imperfections. All the wounds of sin likewise. All the hurtful memories of sin. Of course, it also would be the sorrows of this life and hardships and difficulties. right? All of these things, but especially sin, is that wall between me and Jesus. I can't get to him. There's distance there because of this wall. And if we're honest, we know it's there, right? We've felt that. We've felt that distance. We've felt that wall. Sometimes it's hard to get past. Sometimes we feel very far from him, like we don't have access to him. And the Protestants, they've felt it too. They know it's there. They know there's that wall. They've experienced that at times. Surely they have. What we want is that close, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, right? That's what we want. But if we're honest, we know that there's that wall that divides us. How then do I get to that personal relationship? Right, that's what Protestants are always looking for, that personal relationship. And we say, we're all in favor of that. We want that personal relationship too. You know, the Protestants aren't wrong about everything, okay? They're not wrong about everything. You know, some things are right. We agree with them on that one. And so if a Protestant says you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, you say, yes, I know, I really want one too. I really want one. I want that personal relationship. In fact, sometimes they can even inspire us in this regard, yes? They can inspire us to strive for that personal relationship. We know it's not enough to just mumble through a bunch of prayers absent-mindedly. We all know that's not good enough. We need that relationship, that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. But how do we get it? That's the problem. How do we get to that relationship, to that access to Jesus, that personal, close relationship, when there's this wall that divides us? And I say, I'm going to put something else between me and Jesus. Something else between you and Jesus. So now it won't just be that wall between you and Jesus, between me and Jesus. No, not just a wall. I'm going to put yet another object there. Yet another thing I'm going to put there. And you say, no, Father, don't put something else there. It's bad enough that we have a wall there. Don't put something else there too. And I say, yes, trust me. I'm going to put something else there too. Not just a wall, but now I'm going to put yet another thing between you and Jesus, between me and Jesus. And it's a gate. That's what I'm going to put there. In addition to that wall, I'm going to put a gate. A beautiful, grand, admirable, wide open gate. And as soon as I put that gate between me and Jesus, there's nothing between me and Jesus. Right? If there's a gate in addition to that wall, if there's a gate between you and Jesus, then there's nothing between you and Jesus. Now that gate, she's the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's what Mary is. She's the gate. When Mary's there, now I have that personal relationship with Jesus. When she's between us, there's nothing between us. When I put Mary between me and Jesus, now it's just me and Jesus. Now the second objection, right? The second question. But you Catholics, you talk about Mary all the time. You're going to get distracted. You don't think enough about Jesus, right? That's what they say. That's what we might worry about. All this talk about Mary, is it going to distract us from Jesus? And I say, think of it like the gate. No one is going to just stand there looking at the gate. No matter how beautiful that gate is, no one is going to be distracted by the gate. You're just going to run through to the other side, right? And if I stand there and I'm yelling out for people, quick, over here, everybody, there's a gate here. Hey, everybody, get over here, there's a gate. Come and look at it, there's a beautiful gate here. It's huge, you can get through. Is anyone going to say, Father Ryan, stop talking about that gate. Just tell us about Jesus. I'd say, no. Of course no one's going to complain. No one's worried about the fact that I'm talking about the gate all the time. Because the gate is what gets us through that wall. No one's going to say, don't focus on the gate. No one's going to say that. Everyone knows it's okay to point out the gate. It's okay to talk about the gate. It's okay to praise the gate and thank God for the gate. And lead others to the gate. Because the gate is the way that gets us through to the other side, that gets us through to Jesus. In just the same way, it will never hurt us to think about Mary, to praise Mary, to speak of Mary. We will never be distracted from Jesus, no matter how much we praise Mary. And in fact, the more we praise her, the more we speak of her, the more we look to her, the more we'll praise Jesus, the more we'll speak of Jesus, and the more we'll look to Jesus. Consider this. What's at the center of the Hail Mary prayer? What's at the center of that prayer? It's a name, right? There's a name. And whose name is it? Whose name is at the center of the Hail Mary? Is it Our Lady's name? No. At the center of the Hail Mary is the holy name of Jesus. His name's at the center. He's always at the center of everything. Mary leads us to Jesus. It seems to me, you don't have to do this, but it seems to me that this would be a pious aspiration, a pious thought, a pious hope. It's certainly my own pious hope that when I die and I'm brought before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for all that I've done and said and thought and not done, when God will take all that I've said, and He will, and everything you've said too, He'll take all that I've ever said and He'll lay it out before me for judgment. It is my pious hope and aspiration, and I think it's an okay thing to hope for, that He'll take all the times that I've said the holy name of Jesus. He'll take all the times I've said His holy name, and He'll divide them into two groups. On the one hand will be all the times I've said His name in the context of the Hail Mary prayer, especially, of course, during the Rosary, all the times I've said the name of Jesus in the context of the Hail Mary prayer. And then He'll take all the other times that I've uttered His holy name, and all the other times I've spoken of His name in theology or in preaching or in prayer. And it's my hope, and I think it's a pious hope, a pious aspiration, that when He compares those two groups, I will have said the holy name of my Savior more times in the context of the Hail Mary prayer than in all the other times together. There's no better way to say the name of Jesus than in the middle of the Hail Mary. There's no better place for that holy name than in the midst of the Hail Mary prayer. So don't be afraid to speak of Our Lady. Don't be afraid to call people to Our Lady. She's the gate. If we direct people to the gate, they'll get to Jesus. Okay, now finally, though, people will say, but why does Mary have to be the gate? Right? There's the last question. Why does Mary have to be the gate? Now, first and foremost, I'll say, simply and absolutely speaking, Jesus Himself is the gate. Right? Simply speaking, Jesus is the gate. Simply and absolutely, He alone is the one necessary gate. Even we heard this in today's gospel, right? We're getting to the gospel now. He says, I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. So we're clear on that. Jesus Himself is the gate. Simply and absolutely speaking, He is the gate. But now I ask you, given what our Savior says in today's gospel, that He is the gate, I say, in what respect is Jesus the gate? In what way is He the gate? Is He the gate in His divinity or in His humanity? It's one Jesus, of course. There's only one Jesus. But is Jesus the gate in His divinity, by His divinity, or by His humanity, in His humanity? Well, of course, it has to be through His humanity that He's the gate. Right? As God, He's not the gate. His divinity isn't the gate. But his divinity is the goal. That's what we're trying to get to. It's his humanity that's the gate. By his sacred humanity, by his flesh offered for us, he's the means of access to the Blessed Trinity. In his humanity, he's the gate through which we have access to the Father and to himself as God and to the Holy Spirit. His humanity gives us access to the most blessed Trinity. So it's in his humanity that he's the gate, especially in his body, in his flesh. He is the gate for the sheep. And I ask you, where did that humanity come from? His humanity came from Mary. How did his humanity come into the world? His humanity came into the world through Mary and by Mary. And only when she said, "Let it be done to me according to your word," only when she said yes, did he take flesh of her. And did he come into the world through her? It was by her yes. And so she is truly said to be the gate for the gate. Right? She's the gate's gate. Because she was the gate or the portal through which Jesus came into the world. And we have to imitate Jesus. We have to follow his example. We have to start where he started, which is with Mary. So he's the gate, but she was his gate. Now I want to be clear, Jesus had no absolute need of Mary. He didn't need to have her, right? He didn't need her. He could have come in through any other way. He could have created another gate if he wanted to. He could have just come and been among us immediately. Obviously, yes, he could have. But he didn't want to. He wanted to use her. He wanted to make her a gate through which we'd have access to him. Why did he want her? Why did he want Mary to be the gate through which he came to the world? Well, there's lots of reasons. One reason is because he didn't want to be left out on Mother's Day, right? I mean, really, in one way it's that simple. He didn't want to be left out on Mother's Day. He wanted to have a mother too. He said, "You all have a father and my father's in heaven. You all have a mother. And look at this. I have a mother too. I'm just like you," he says. "Don't be afraid. I'm one of you. I have a mother too." On Mother's Day, remember, I have a mother too. I'm just like you. Don't be afraid. Come to me. I'm putting Mary there between us. Come through her. She's the gate. Come to me. I'll bring you to the Father. And so again, I affirm with Mary between me and Jesus, it's just me and Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.